But first, we talk about sun safety with Dr. Peter Hopewood, surgeon at Cape Cod Healthcare. Welcome back to the program.
Yeah, thank you, Mindy.
It was back in 2018 that the CDC data showed new cases of melanoma in Massachusetts significantly higher than the national average. Are we still seeing higher rates, and what are some of the reasons we have so many more new cases of melanoma as compared to the rest of the country?
Well, I think one of the differences from Massachusetts is that we're a coastal area and a lot of recreational and occupational sun exposure. We have people at golf, and sunbathe and boating, and then we also have agriculture. So that combination will increase the incidence a little different than other states.
Hmm. Now, the term skin cancer really refers to several kinds of cancer. Melanoma is one type of skin cancer, as is basal cell carcinoma, and there are others. Some are more dangerous than others, right? So what are the differences?
Well, there's at least three types of skin cancers. There's a squamous cell cancer, a basal cell, and then the melanoma. And they're all can be triggered by sun exposure. The cumulative sun exposure will be more likely to cause things such as squamous cell carcinoma and basal cell, as opposed to intense sunburns, which will be more likely to be causing melanomas. The differences are that a melanoma is a little bit more of a aggressive type of skin cancer, develops from the melanocytes, which are our pigment cells in the skin. And the squamous cells and the basal cells come from more the more superficial layer, or the keratinocytes, which are making more of the keratin, or the, you know, that waxy, scaly material that keeps you waterproof.
Hmm. So who's at the greatest risk for skin cancer?
Well, people at greatest risk is, first of all, people are getting a lot of sun exposure. And also people of Celtic origin, that's fair skin, freckles, red hair, blue eyes. But also African Americans can get melanomas and skin cancers too.
Hmm. So those of us with fair skin know that we're more prone to getting a burn. But if you are darker skinned and you aren't prone to burning, you're saying you can get sunburn, but do you still need the same amount of sun protection?
Well, you should do that. I mean, I have friends, African Americans, and I work with them in the hospital, and I ask them, boy, you look a little darker than usual. I say, yeah, I got sunburned. And so they can tell, they feel it themselves, but it's a little, their skin is a little bit more protective because of that.
So what are some of the warning signs of skin cancer? You know, what should we be looking for?
Well, I think you're looking for a change in your skin that doesn't get better. In other words, if you damage your skin at a scrape, or, you know, if you have a bruise, that should clear up in the next few weeks. But if you have a skin lesion or an ulcer or a scrape or a rash that doesn't go away 2-3 weeks, and especially if it's starting to have little pustules on it, or if you're starting to see little blood coming from it, those are worrisome signs of skin cancer. Other skin cancers will just look like a bump. It may end up being a little black hole, and it may not change at all. And they also will slowly get larger with time. So it's really the evolution of a skin lesion which makes it more worrisome.
Hmm. Should everyone be checked regularly by a physician for skin cancer?
Well, I don't think that's, you know, there's so many different things to screen for that are worrisome. I think if you're in a high-risk group, in other words, you're getting a lot of sun exposure, you're getting a lot of occupational or recreational sun exposure, and you've had frequent sunburns as a child, or if you're starting to have skin lesions, you know, pigmentation changes, photo aging, these are all side effects of sun exposure, then it makes sense maybe once a year when you see your primary care doctor just to have things looked at. A lot of times people have things on their back or places they can't see that a friend or a neighbor will identify. Or even sometimes a hairdresser or a barber will say, jeepers, you know, in the middle of your scalp, you got this brown mole here. That's kind of different.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Peter Hopewood about sun safety. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626 if you have a comment or a question. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Now, if we do have something of concern, it can be difficult getting an appointment with a dermatologist. So there's now another option that doesn't require a face-to-face appointment. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, you know, with the COVID-19, the telemedicine is really come of age. And there's a lot of things that you can do for you. You can be self-empowered to identify areas that you're concerned about. So if you take a picture of a lesion on your skin, and I would put next to that maybe a small ruler, and then you can then forward that to your primary care physician. There are some things called teledermatology, but most of those are arrangements that you would have with your primary care physician. So the Cape Community Health Centers have an arrangement with some dermatology groups where they will take a photo, forward it to a dermatology group, and they will say, well, this is a suspicious lesion. This is not a suspicious lesion. Then the lesion could be biopsied or sampled to know what it is.
Baby boomers and Gen Xers grew up without using sunscreen, but by the 1990s, the risks associated with the sun became better known. From what you know about anecdotally, are young people in our area smart about sun protection? Does that seem to be the case?
Well, I don't think they are. I think what we're seeing is that it's the Coco Chanel mindset where a tan is beautiful. And as we know that when you look at melanoma, there's really two distinct groups of, for incidence. We have melanoma in young teenage women, high at the first peak, and then we have men in their older, in their 50s and 60s increasing. So we have sort of a recreational exposure, you know, for prom or for just looking well with a skin tan for a young woman. And then we have people that are working the field or the golf courses or on the beaches or boating that get cumulative more sun exposure as they get older. So we have a peak of young women, mostly teenage ages, and then that levels, that slowly decreases over time, whereas the men, as they get older, start to increase in time.
And that's a good point, because those it's not just the sun. Those sun tanning beds also can create problems, right?
Well, that's right. And sun tanning beds are UVA. So we have UVB, ultraviolet B, and then we have UVA 2 and 1. And the suntan beds are UVA, but they cause photo aging and photo damage and can also increase the risk of melanoma. So the so the long-term side effects of sun exposure, you got to remember, it's damage to the skin. And sometimes the skin can repair itself, but the melanocytes, the melanin or the pigment-producing cells, get a DNA damage, which if it's not repaired, can slowly evolve into melanoma.
Now, here in the Cape and Islands, many of us spend time, as you're mentioning, out at the beach and on the water. How does this reflection of the sun on sand and water, does that increase our exposure?
It does. It does, because it reflects back. So the reflection of the sun and water and sand will increase your risk. I mean, we've seen people on the beach. Remember, they have the aluminum foil wrappers around their chest so they can get their perfect tan on the bottom of their neck and their armpits and all those other places.
Now, we also have to remember cloudy days or, you know, foggy summer days, we're still being exposed to UV rays.
That's right. The UV rays are not blocked completely by fog or cloud. So you can, it's probably a little bit less than a fully sunny day, but there's still a, you know, a significant amount of UV penetration of mist and fog.
So now, some people have argued that our fear of skin cancer and use of sunscreen means we aren't getting enough sun exposure, causing our bodies to be deficient in vitamin D. What are your thoughts on that?
That's probably, I mean, there's people think that, but the reality is it's not true, because it takes a very small amount of sun exposure to convert inactive to active vitamin D through your skin. But also there's vitamin D supplements that you can get in a really over-the-counter vitamin. And a lot of people will take those routinely as they age, especially women, you know, trying to minimize the risk of getting osteoporosis. You know, after menopause, the bone densities will start to drop. So it's not uncommon for a lot of people to be taking a vitamin D supplement, you know, maybe 1,000 units a day of vitamin D3 as part of a multivitamin that will contain 400. And you can do that in a combination with a calcium to improve your bone strength.
What do you need to look for in a sunscreen in terms of the UVA, UVB, and SPF grade? What are we looking for?
Well, there's really two types of sunscreens. There's called organic and inorganic. The inorganic are things like zinc oxide and titanium oxide. This, if you remember, the beaches, people having big white noses and white lips as they smear the zinc oxide on their face. And then the organic materials are more synthesized. What you want to have is a combined, you want to have a combined lotion or oil that will block both UVB and UVA rays to do that. And a lot of the inorganic ones, the zinc oxide and titanium oxide, have now been engineered with nanoparticles, so they're much more cosmetically acceptable. So some cosmetics will actually have a reasonable amount of sun protection.
Yeah. So is it, you know, the higher the SPF grade, the better off? Or I mean, are we looking for the highest, or does it not matter after you get past a certain number?
Well, it's pretty much SPF 15, so sun protection factor 15, you know, for just average use. But for heavy and extensive or intense sun exposure, they recommend using an SPF 30. You should apply that about 20 or 30 minutes before sun exposure and reapply frequently. If you have a water-resistant or water-repellent sunscreen, then that should maintain its effect for about 40 to 80 minutes of swimming or sweating or intense activity. But it still should be reapplied after that because it does start to lose its effect.
Talk a little bit about how much sunscreen we should be using. You know, I've heard a teaspoon for your face alone.
Yeah, so there's, you know, there's a, remember the Mary Poppins, a teaspoon of sugar? So the teaspoon of lotion keeps the sunburn away. And what they're saying is that you should use a teaspoon on your face and neck, two teaspoons on your front and back, one teaspoon for each arm, and two teaspoons for each leg. So that would be about, what, 9 teaspoons total of a suntan lotion before your sun exposure.
Yeah, I don't think we're using enough suntan lotion.
A lot, huh?
Yeah. So, and what about your lips? You know, you made me think of that when you talk about the zinc oxide on the nose and lips. We're not putting suntan lotion on our lips, but we do need to think about sun exposure on our lips as well.
Absolutely. You know, you could a lot of the lip balms will have SPF built into them. And I mean, personally, myself and a lot of my friends, when we get sun exposure, we get sort of these sun blisters on our lips, which is an activation of a herpes virus that will give us, you know, look like your teeth, you know, what happened to your lip type of thing. So the sunblock on your lip is really most of the lip balms. And there are many, many different ones out there. And I use that all the time when I go outside.
Yeah. What about your eyes? The UV sun exposure is detrimental to your eyes as well. So what sunglasses with UV protection?
If you've ever seen these people that are climbing Mount Everest, or they basically wrap around UV sunglasses to protect the UV from hitting the lens of the eye, because the development of cataracts is felt to be related to sun exposure and UV exposure. And so when you get your eye check, and one of the signs of cataracts is that the nighttime driving, you'll start to see you'll see double lights way in the distance, or you'll have a flare or glare as cars are approaching you. So those would be some of the subtle signs that you may be developing cataracts, but it is related to ultraviolet exposure.
What about kids? Should we be having kids wearing sunglasses then? And how young?
Well, I don't know how young, but I think it depends how much sun exposure you're getting. It makes sense because if you can, you know, long term, I mean, it doesn't take a lot for them to be wearing some sunglasses, and they look good. You know, the kids like to look good. They're running
be
around.
Cool.
Yeah, they look cool. And but you don't have to buy expensive ones. You know, I mean, there's a lot of sunglasses that are $1 or $1.06 that you can also use at the beach and just throw them in your beach bag and just put them on, especially if you go down to the water.
Yeah. Now, of course, sunscreen isn't our only option for UV protection. Clothing is now made with a lot of different SPF ratings, right?
Yeah, it is. And actually, clothing, there's a lot of different garments that you can wear for physical protection from the sun exposure. The key is that you want to have something that is basically, in the warm weather, you want to have a light, you know, that light, but you want to have a tight weave and a darker color seem to be more protective. You can have the fabric can be treated with UV resistant materials, but also just a regular shirt. So we're not talking like a very light beach top that is an open weave and lets the wind blow through. We're talking something a little more substantial. And they also note that as you wash these, if they start to get smaller or shrink, you actually have more UV protection because it's a tighter weave. So it's really the tightness of the weave and the darkness of the fabric which improve or increase the sun protection.
And wear a hat.
And wear a hat, exactly. Wear a wide-brimmed hat. Yeah.
All right. We'll post links with more information about sun safety at our website, capeandislands.org. Dr. Peter Hopewood, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.